Good evening, and first of all, Yashikayev to Rav Luzi for inviting me. It's always a pleasure to come in the middle of the summer for an evening to enjoy and to retire with the Eilu. Okay, so Yashikayev and the Eilu should keep up the beautiful work of Limud HaTorah throughout these summer nights. So, thank you. The subject that we're going to speak about, I'll just preface my remarks by saying this is a Rambam in Hilchos Deis, where the Rambam shares with us that a Talmud Chacham that has a discussion has an obligation to speak differently than any other person speaks. The Rambam says that Talmud Chacham shouldn't speak with his voice too high, he shouldn't speak with his voice too low. He should always speak benachas. People should want to listen to what he has to say. So it's quite obvious that anything, you know, condescending is something that a person is the type of speech that a person definitely should not be using. What's fascinating is that as you start to go through the Divrei Chazal and Shas, and you know, many of you are closing in on the Daf Yomi. You learned now in Erech in a couple of Gemaras. You have a Chul in a couple of Gemaras, where you see Tanoim and Amiroim that outright will insult each other with certain insults that it's hard to imagine what they were actually thinking, right? You know, I don't know, I've listened, there's some things, you know, that people actually say today. You sit in meetings with people, and there are things that actually I find very insulting to repeat, the way people express themselves, you know? But I don't know, I was sitting with a couple of guys, you know, a few days ago trying to settle something. So one person made a comment that the other person thought was not that impressive. It was not that intelligent. So he looks at the other guy and he says, "By the way, what are you smoking? That stuff looks really good. I would love to have some of it myself." No, I don't know. I would never speak that way. I think I repeated it just for the sake of the shiur. But then when you start to learn through Chazal, where the Gemara tells us that there's a discussion that takes place between Rav Sheshes and Rav, and Rav Sheshes turns to Rav and he says to him, "Ki meduma she'ein loy moyach bekotkodai." It sounds to me that whoever made that comment had no brains, right? That doesn't seem to be a very impressive comment to make. And furthermore, when you think about this for a moment, who are you speaking to? You're speaking to Rav. I mean, Rav possibly had a din of an Amoira, possibly had a din of a Tana. Rav Tana Yipalik, he lives for 400 years, one of the greatest Rosh Hashivas in the history of our world. Is it even is something that we can comprehend that you can speak to Rav in that type with that type of speech? And as we're going to go through Chazal, you're going to see one after another that actually speak that way. So before we get there, Rabbi Sai, why don't I first start with a very famous Gemara, where in this Gemara there's actually no direct insult that's said, but rather, instead of a personal insult, the whole Gemara is an insult one to the other. So let's start with this Gemara first, and we'll see if we can make heads and tails out of this Gemara. Okay? So no, Rabbi said, there's a concept called Einaz Devarim. What does Einaz Devarim mean? What does Einaz Devarim mean? You have to be careful how you speak to each other, right? That's excellent, very well said. Einaz Devarim means you cannot insult another person. So I'm going to repeat to you a Gemara in Maseches Bava Metzia. And Maseches Bava Metzia actually is the Masechta that speaks about Einaz Devarim. And let's speak about what it says here on Daf Pei Dalet, a story that takes place between none other than the great Amiroim, Rabbi Yochanan, and Resh Lakish. So the story goes as follows. The Gemara tells us, Yom Echad, one day, have a Kosochi Rabbi Yochanan biYardena. So Rabbi Yochanan is in the Yarden. So he's in this body of water. Chazia le Resh Lakish. He takes a look across the water, and who does he see? He sees Resh Lakish. And what happened? Vishova le Yardena Abasre. So the Gemara says he jumps into the Yarden, and he starts to swim. And he's such a powerful swimmer that he just, in a couple of strokes, he crosses the Yarden. So Rabbi Yochanan takes a look at Resh Lakish, and remember, Resh Lakish at this stage in his career, what does he do for a living?
The bandit.
He's the head of the bandits, that's what he does. Great position he has, he's the head of the bandits. And he turns to him, and Rabbi Yochanan says, Amalei, he says to him, Chai lach l'iraisa. You got all this strength, take your strength, and go and take it and put it into the Torah. Amalei, so Rav Shlakish at the time, remember, he's the head of the bandits, he's not necessarily the most respectful, and the disrespectful Rav Shlakish meets Rav Yochanan, and Rav Yochanan starts to give him Musa to take his energy and put it into Torah. So Rav Yochanan, Rav Shlakish, not to be outdone, turns back to Rav Yochanan, and what does he tell him? Amalei, Shifrach Lenashi. You're such a beautiful person. Your beauty should be used for Nashim. That's what he says to him. Shifrach Lenashi. Amalei. Now Rav Yochanan is not very impressed. He turns back to Rav Shlakish after getting that insult. And he says to him, Amalei, I hadartabach yehibni lach achvasi de shapira minoi. He says, you know what? I'll make a deal with you. If you do tshuva, I have a sister that looks even better than I do, because Rabbi Yochanan is on the list of the best looking people in the Gemara. He says, if you do tshuva, you can marry my sister. No, did he consult with his sister first? I don't know. The Gemara doesn't speak about it. But obviously in those days, sisters listened to brothers, not like today. The brother said, that's what happened. What does the Gemara say, Vaita? Zok the Gemara. Kibbal aleha. See, he was mekabel on himself. This Kabbalah, to do tshuva, and to learn Torah. The Gemara says, Bayelam Aheda, Lasiya Mane. He wanted to go back and swim to the other side to pick out, to retrieve his clothing. Blematzahada. Couldn't get back. This is the famous concept that all of us learn. If a person Torah, Mateshes, Koichai Shel Adam. So you learn Torah, you suddenly become weaker. Rabbi say, I, Yaakov Avinu with the Be'er, and the Gal, the Evan. Okay, Akashav Amaisa. Right? The simple answer would be, who knows how strong Yaakov Avinu would have been if not for that story. That may be a simple response. So the Gemara says that what happens is that he goes, he leaves the world of the bandits, he decides to embrace Torah, he marries Rabbi Yochanan's sister, and everything is fine until one day Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, who end up being chavrusas, as we find out later in the Gemara, get into a heated debate on a certain sugya. And the sugya is as follows. Does anybody know how to make a sword? Or I'll ask the question differently. Who knows how to make the sword better, Rabbi Yochanan or Reish Lakish? Reish Lakish. You would say he has a little more experience in the creating of a sword, huh? And who's the bigger Talmud Chacham? We'll find out as we go through the Gemara. So the Gemara tells us, Yoyim Echad have a miflugi b'bei Midrasha. There was a machloikis in the Bismedrash. What was the question? Hasayif, v'hasakin, the sword, the machete. Hapigoyim v'roimach, they start to discuss arrows. Magul yad, a sickle. Magul kitzir. Me'eim esay mekabel in tumah. So they're discussing a subject in taharis. You have all of these weapons. And the question is, we know that the weapon is mekabel tuma when the weapon is considered a completed keli. So when is it mekabel tuma? That's a discussion they're having. And the Gemara says, Mishas gemar melachton. When is a gemar melacha? Ima emesai gemar melachton. And when is the weapon considered, right? Those that make knives or other things. Here's the question, when is it considered a gemar melacha? Becomes a machlaikis. Rabbi Yochanan Mishi Yitzar from the Gibshon, the Shlakisham Mishi Yitzar Sacham B'mayim. Question, at which stage in the process is it considered a sword, a knife, a weapon? Amalei. So as they're having this heated debate in the Bismedrash between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan turns to Reish Lakish and he says, Listo'a b'listiyisei yada. You're going to argue with me about when something is mekabel tuma. Listen, I know your profession. I know what you did for many, many years. You're the big expert. So you think just because you understand weapons better than I do, you're the one who can take the position that this is this man. You think you have a better understanding than I do. Rabbi said, let's just backtrack it for a moment. There's a very famous Rambam, which is based on a Mishnah that speaks about Inaz Devarim. And it says over there that if a person is a Baal Tshuva, and you meet a Baal Tshuva, you're not allowed to say to the other person, do you remember the old days who you once were? That is the Issa V'Nos Devar. And as we learn through this Gemara, what does Rabbi Yochanan say to Rish Lakish? You're going to argue with me? Do you remember once upon a time who you were? Right? This is your profession. So the Gemara says, Amalei. Now Rish Lakish is not very impressed with Rabbi Yochanan's insult. And he turns back to him and he says, huh? You think you're a big deal that you made me into a Rosh Hashiva? Right? You made me into a big Talmud Chachem. Imaya, honestly, what have you done for me? Right? That's what people say. What have you done for me lately? Right? He says, Hasam Rebbe Kari Li, when I was amongst the bandits as the Rosh Hashiva, they called me Rebbe. Because I was the top man, they called me Rebbe. And Hoka Rebbe Kari Li, and I became the Rosh Hashiva, they still call me Rebbe. So I was Rebbe there, Rebbe there. What's the difference, Rebbe from the bums, Rebbe from the Erlicha people? I was always a Rebbe, so you haven't really done much for me. I'm a lay. So Rabbi Yochanan now gets insulted. He says, you kidding? Don't you realize what I did for you? I put you under the Shechina. If not for me, you would still be amongst all those gangsters there. So what happened? Cholish daite to Rabbi Yochanan. Now Rabbi Yochanan gets insulted. He has chalishes hadas. And what happened when Rabbi Yochanan has chalish Rish Lakish? Now, as a result, Rish Lakish gets sick because he insulted the Rebbe of Klal Yisrael, Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara tells us that after that happened, Asoy Achsei. Now, the sister of Rabbi Yochanan, remember, what's Rabbi Yochanan to his sister? Not only his sister, but also the Shatchim, right? He was the one who found this Messiah, this Shidduch, to bring the bandit to marry his sister. So the Gemara says, Kabacha, and she started to cry, Amrilei, Asei Bishvil Bini. He says, do it for my son. He says, do it for your sister. And the Gemara goes through a whole list. And the Gemara says, eventually, Nach Nafshe. And the Gemara says, after the whole discussion that goes back and forth, Rabbi Yochanan responds, and eventually, Rish Lakish dies. Now, the Gemara doesn't stop here. The Gemara has another little incident where the Gemara shares with us that Rabbi Yochanan thereafter gets depressed. Now, why does Rabbi Yochanan get depressed? Because Rabbi Yochanan doesn't have his chavrusa. And that's the famous Gemara that we have, oi chavrusa, oi misisa, right? Very, very good. So either a chavrusa, or it's not worth living. That's the next Gemara over here. And eventually the chacham come along and they daven for Reb Yochanan, and the Rebbeinu Shlomo takes Reb Yochanan's life. And these svarim are all quick to point out, look how terrible Einoz Devarim is. Einoz Devarim took the two greatest Gedolim in Klal Yisrael because they got into a discussion with each other. And what happens? There's no. By the time the story is over, there's no Rabbi Yochanan, there's no Rish Lakish. So that's the chaymer of Einoz Devarim. But Rabbi said, we're here tonight to discuss something else. You learn through Chazal and you see such stories. So why don't we take the story and start to analyze it? Can anybody tell me a decent explanation what Rabbi Yochanan was thinking when he has a discussion with Rish Lakish and they have a legitimate halacha discussion as to when is the Gemar Malacha, and Rabbi Yochanan is quick to shoot back? What is he quick to shoot back? He says, yeah, you hold your way because you're such an expert in weapons. That's the type of way that Rabbi Yochanan speaks to Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan, I'm sure that in this room, this Gemara was learned already at least 1,000 times. From elementary school, we learned this Gemara. No, would somebody want to volunteer a pshat? What's perhaps what he was thinking? Okay, I guess you're going to leave the volunteering for me. I hope you like the pshat event that we're going to say. All right, so listen. We'll try a couple of angles to answer this question. Okay? So, the Rogatchover, in his Sefer Tzotras Paneach, actually tackles this question. And the Rogatchover is a very practical person. He always sees everything in a very specific way. The Rogatchover says, I think all of you misread the Gemara. So, Rabbi Yochanan is having a discussion with Rish Lakish. And they're having a discussion when a weapon is considered Gemar Malach. Right? That's a pretty good question, when a weapon is Gemar Malacha. You know what the answer to the question is, the Rogatchover says? He says, I'll tell you when a weapon is Gemar Malacha. Go out to a person that's an expert in a field, and ask him, who has a chazaka to be trusted? An uman. An uman, we have a concept, uman loy mara im nasoy. Correct? Now, each uman also has a different issue. What's his different issue? His different issue is that an uman is not believed because he usually has a cheshbon why he's giving an answer. If you have something which is batel b'shishim, so it's bought in Shulchan Aruch that if you want to take it to a goy to taste it, the Ashkenazim, the Rama says, are makbid not to be soymach on the tasting of a goy. And Rabbi Kivege explains, because there are two components you need for the manis. One is you need a umin, an expert. The second is you need mesichel fitumai. And an umin doesn't speak mesichel fitumai. Right? So the Rugged Shava says, but we found one individual who understands the art of weaponry that is an umin, and he can speak mesichel fitumai. Who's that? Rish Lakish. Excellent. So Rabbi Yochanan turns to him and he says, you're such an expert in weaponry, that's why you took the position that you actually took.
Just very, he made it.
What's that?
Just because he made it.
I'm sorry?
Because he used it doesn't mean that he made it.
He may not have made it, but
he understands what,
but you understand the area.
The onus is not making and using his two separate things.
Right. Well, I would assume that if he was in that area, he went to practice. I assume he probably visited a gun shop, you know, once or twice. He probably, you know, anybody that's involved in a certain area really wants to understand what's behind it. Now, you're 100% right. He doesn't say it. The other thing which Chazal do tell us was that he was the CEO of this group. Now, when you're the CEO, you know, what separates the CEO from the rest of the company?
He understands the paycheck.
What? The paycheck?
Huh?
What's that?
Oh.
Rayavelsky, the Kohen Lebracha, once told me, he actually is a very cute story. I think you all can use this story. Rayavelsky, the Kohen Lebracha, the day of my chasana, I got married in Toronto, I get a call from Rayavelsky. I said, no, Rabbi, what's going on? He says, great, you're getting married tonight. I said, maybe you can give me some advice. So he says, sure, I'll give you some advice. So I figured I was going to hear some nice encouraging words, right? That's usually what you tell a chasan. So he says, I want to tell you something, he says to me. He says, you know, chasan is daim al melech. So you're about to walk down the chuppah, so you probably feel very important that you're being compared to a king, right? You know, I don't know, somebody once said, I'll tell you, chasan daim al melech, kala daim al malka. Does that exist? No, it doesn't exist. As a matter of fact, there's a whole discussion, by the way, because people by a chuppah, they stand up for the chasan. Do you have to stand up for the kala too? Huh?
They do.
Actually, somebody just recorded that they asked Rav Palm the question. So Rav Palm said that the chasim there's an Indian to stand up because chasim daim lamelech. He said the kali says I don't know if there's a reason to stand up because it doesn't say that she's daim lamelech. But others want to say that it's all shikul tayre because by bikurim that's the when to do the mitzvah. But then Rav Palm added to the end, Rav Palm says, but if everybody else is standing up, you stand up too. That's what Rav Palm said. But I can tell you, I sat next to Rayavelsky by a chasana, and he always stood up for the chasana, he never stood up for the kala. So what's interesting is that, so he said to me, he says, I want to tell you a little story, he tells me. He says, you know, he says, what's the trap you, the chasana daim lamelech? He said, I'll tell you, the melech is like the CEO. So what's the difference between a CEO and everybody else in the business, okay? I'll tell you the difference, he says. You know, let's say you're the CEO of General Motors. And one day, there's two people that have two different jobs. One person has a job that he puts the nuts on the tires. And the other person has the job that he puts in the batteries into the car. So one day, the guy that puts the nuts, the bolts on the tires gets sick. He doesn't make it to work. So the other guy, you go over to the guy who usually does the batteries, and you say, could you fill that guy's position today? He says, no. That's not my job. Right? I'm an expert in installing batteries, right? It's not my job. So he said, listen, he said, there's one person in the company that everything is his job. And who's that? The CEO. Because if he's not going to get on the assembly line and put nuts on the tires that day, there won't be cars. So that became his job. So when you become a CEO, when you become a melech, you become a leader means that you're willing to fill in any piece to make the whole car move. That's what a leader actually means. So he said, you're a melech, because everything's going to be your responsibility going forward. So if your wife's not happy, you've got to mop the floor. That's pshat malchus. Yeah? Geshmak of pshat is what you told me to pshat over here. So I'm just telling you that I appreciate the comments that he didn't have that position, but you have every position. If you're the head, you have to have all the positions. A good question, but that's l'chayr the answer to the question. So that's the way the Ragashav understands it. And according to the Ragashav, what simply happened here is that there was sort of a misunderstanding in the delivery, and then sort of the question actually, the story actually took on a life of its own. What's interesting is that in the bottom of the Ian Yaakov, there's a sefer called Chiddushei HaGa'onim. And in the Chiddushei HaGa'onim, he actually says a interesting pshat, which is a similar concept. The Chiddushei HaGa'onim writes that what happened was there was a disagreement in between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish in theory. And the disagreement was as follows, because Rabbi Yochanan had Mesorah from his Rebbeim. Reish Lakish had the practical, hands-on knowledge of actually how to make the gun, like they say. And therefore, since there was this disagreement, Reish Lakish took the position, you, Rabbi Yochanan, don't tell me what you heard from your Rebbe, because I can factually tell you that the way you're learning is incorrect from the Metzius. Rabbi Yochanan took the position, you can't be so smart with your ability of understanding the scientific components to disagree with the Mesorah, because I was the one who was mishamish by my Rebbe. And that's sort of what the discussion is. So again, there's no insults here that's happening according to the Chiddushei HaGa'onim, a similar concept to the Ragashav. But rather, what took place here was they were discussing principles of halacha, which components you decide a halacha on. I'll just conclude this Gemara at least, and I'll go on to the next subject. We are Rabbi Yisai, there was a Heilige Yid, his name was Reb Leiva Yitzchak of Baditchev. Right? No, today, I don't know, you're going to a shul, they make a ticket in the morning, I hear so many names being announced, I don't know, Shlai Yitzchak, but Suda Sasha is one of those names that's been out there already for a lot of years. But there, I was one guy in the shul, whenever they give ticket, who they give a ticket for, I don't know, there's like a list of 40 names that are skillers, what they should say, huh? That's the way it works today. So the Levi Yitzchak Baditchev writes as follows. I'm gonna just paraphrase a few words of what he actually says. Hanira, he says, he actually just refers to one part of the Gemara, not the discussion that we had till now. He says, how is it possible, yipule al tzadikah shel oilam, appel on a tzadik of the world, like Reish Lakish sheyoyim ma'ahanali, when a person who was mekarif him, tachas kanfei ashchina, to say, what have you done for me? He says, Reish Lakish migoydol nishmusai, gam ili lo kiver Rabbi Yochanan hayol oved es Hashem. He brings, the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, that there are people that are Oyver Hashem, but everybody uses their Shoresh HaNefesh to be Oyver the Rabbeinu Shalom. The Gemara says if a person is born with the Mazel Madim, that's the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, which is red, which is blood, he becomes a Shoyfet rather than a murderer. And Cheina V'Cheina. He says, Ach, Hoye Oyver the Midoisev Shehoye by Mikaidim. He says, Reb Shlokish was an old Gavet to Mensch, and Reb Shlokish would have persevered regardless, and he would have become who he actually would have become. He says, but however, he would have taken the Midas HaGazlunim, which is Kas, Chema, Sinna, he says, and he would have gone and been Oiver Hashem, Lichois al Oiver Ritzoyne Yisburuch. He would have become a Kanui, the scream at people that do against the Rebbeinu Shloilam. Lekarev Hakel Hashem Yisburuch b'Midas HaKas. However, Rabbi Yochanan brought him into a different realm to be Makarif people in a totally different fashion. So, Rabbi Yisai, that would be a answer, a way of understanding this specific Gemara, but I want to take the time for the rest of the shir to discuss the other subject, not in principle how they were able to insult each other, but rather go through different Gemaras in Chazal. I'll tell you what's fascinating is that every single one of these mamurim and shas that that they went and they sort of really, really insulted each other and they spoke to each other in a way where they really undermined each other, there are achronim that explain them. Now I want to just share with everybody a fascinating find. If you look in the Chofetz Chaim on Enos Devorim, the Chofetz Chaim says Enos Devorim is a terrible thing. And the Chofetz Chaim then says that if you want to know why is it that there were those that did Einoas Devorim in Shas, he says, look in the Tshuvas Chavos Yoyer Simen Kuf Nun Beis. So I'm going to read for you a couple of lines out of the Chavos Yoreh and see what he says. So the question comes as follows. Nish'alti. I was asked the following question. Divrei Chachomim benachas nishmoyim. The words of Chachomim are heard benachas. V'nema b'mishnah, the Mishnah also tells us, v'hi kovet chavercha chav alecha kishalach. The covet of your friend should be special upon you like your own. And if that's the case, eich metzini lepa'omim kantirim v'zilzulim. How is it that at times we find kantir? What does kantir mean? To insult the person, a direct insult. What's a zilzul? To undermine, to make fun. B'shas. And he starts with the first one, kadnayim v'shachav rav amalah shmaitzav. So Rav gets a comment from Rav Sheshes, this comment that you made, you must have been sleeping. Right? No? Insulting thing to say? If your Rebbe said that to you, how would you feel? Not pretty good, right? Not too good. So the Rebbe turned, your Rebbe said worse things to you. I heard that. Don't worry, not as bad as what my Rebbe said to me. Yeah. I tried to explain to the other one, when I was in third grade, my mother had a problem. My mother called the Rebbe. The Rebbe called my mother one day, and the Rebbe said to my parents that they had a problem, that they couldn't keep me in a seat. But as soon as the class started, I was out of my seat. Right? Problem sounds familiar. That was my problem as a child.
Sounds like your brother.
I was worse. Trust me, I was worse. So my parents, you know, back in those days, said to the Rebbe, I don't want this. You're the Rebbe. Deal with it, right? What do you want from us? Right, today the parents get involved, they go for meetings. There was no meetings. They just said to the Rebbe, deal with it, your problem. So I walked into third grade the next day, and this is something that just always sticks with me. I just wonder why nobody does this anymore today. And the Rebbe went, and he was a Chassidish Rebbe, had a big long gartel, and he took his gartel, and he tied me down to the seat. And he tied me with so many different knots, I remember. That by the time it was done, I was stuck in that seat. And I spent the rest of that, say, the till recess, untying knot by knot. And by the time I was done, it was recess. And I came back after recess, and the same procedure all over again. I got to tell you, it's gone for many, many months. I'm Baruch Hashem. We're doing fine?
Now you're working.
Worked.
I remind myself of those days. But listen to this. Now you have a Gemara here. What the Gemara says, I think it was actually a very good point. So, Rabbi said, what's trapped in the Gemara? The Gemara tells us as follows. The Gemara tells us a story. The Gemara tells us that Rav is told that comment you made, you must have been sleeping. Okay. So I'm going to read you a few lines of what the Chavos Yoreh writes. And he actually writes a fascinating deher in how to actually understand this beautiful concept. I'm going to skip over to where he speaks about it. And he says as follows, V'nachsor l'mevikoshenu. Shemashe kosev rav l'levi. So the first one I mentioned was, he says, you must have been sleeping when you made that comment. The second one is what? He says, Rav says to Levi, K'medumali she'en loy moyach b'kotkodoy. That comment sounds like you have no brain in your skull. Okay? Second insult. B'yavamas daftes amad aleph, menachas dafei amad beis, lile de mistafina. Comes along, Rabbi said, the Chavos Yoreh, with a brilliant thought. He says, if not for the fact that I was afraid, l'shloyach yad b'mashiach Hashem, but I'm going to tell you either way what I think the answer to these Gemaras are. Yudia, it's known, he writes, Sherav, Rav Abba. That Rav's real name is Rav Abba. Talmud Hamuvik Vahamuvcha Mitalmide Rav Shimon Vayechoy. So when you talk about Rav, Kedoy Shei Elyon, who are you talking about? The Chavos Yoreh writes, the prize Talmud of Rav Shimon Vayechoy. Mibali Chasidis, Kemoy Shekosev Ramah in Soif Sefer Yoinis Alam. So the Ramah Mipani explains, Shebechol Mokim Shenema Shosak Rav. Everybody say, interesting. You have a Gemara, you have a debate, you have a discussion. What does the Gemara tell us? Shosak Rav. Rav is quiet. So your assumption is, what does it mean, Shosak Rav? That he's speechless. He doesn't have what to respond. What's that? Yeah, he said, stump tied. He's not going to speak. No. No, that's not what it actually means. Zok de Ramami Pani. Hoy Eloi Lahashif. He had plenty to answer. Al pi ha-soit. He was a Talmud of Rav Shimon bar Yochai. And soit, you quiet. Soit, you don't share. Sisrei Torah, Kabbalah is something that's only shared with very special people. Therefore, v'lei rotza legalis. He doesn't want to repeat that specific point. Oh, so if that's the case, what does it mean, shasak rav? Shasak rav means, okay, you have your position, I'll be niglav. I have my position, I'll be nister. And I'll be nister, you have to either understand it or be mekabel from your rebbe, but you don't publicly go and shear the pshat. Knock at me. So one thing the Chavetz Chaim tells us you should take away from this. The ish alikim kodesh kadoshim hoya, l'chein yigarti loyma olav kibayma shaloyka hoybin dibber. So the Chavetz Chaim says that when the Tanoim or the Amoraim had a discussion with Rav, and he was such a great man, and they didn't understand what he was talking about, so they haven't got halacha to get debate. And Rav says a swara, like in our language, we would say, that makes no sense. And when you read the Gemara, where the Gemara says, you got no brains in your skull, or you're sleeping, that's the way you translate it. And then it says, shasak, he's quiet, that's because you gave him such a sharp mind that he doesn't have a response. That's not what actually transpired, says the Chavetz Chaim. But rather, they chapped that when they didn't understand him, he was talking Al-Pi Kabbalah. He wasn't talking Al-Pi Halacha. And therefore, we all know that there's the very famous Arizal, where the Arizal tells us that he writes, you know, it's very famous, Mishabur brings that the Arizal used to sleep on Rosh Hashanah after Chatzos. So there were great Gedolim said, that's no riot to us, because the Arizal was into Kabbalah. And the Rizal said that in one sleep he can accomplish more than a person can accomplish his whole lifetime in Taras HaNigla, because in his sleep he would get so dehoibin, where he would get all these unbelievable concepts in the middle of his sleep. Ah, Zok Techavis Yehoi. Omer Rav Sheishis Olav. Rav Sheishis says on Rav, Kinai V'shachav Amalol HaShmaitza. When he was sleeping he said that. Of course, when he was sleeping. Why did he make the comment when he was sleeping? Because sleeping means he was being Mekabel Kabbalah, Sisrei Torah, at the time. He falls into place perfectly because that's bitl hadas. It's Kabbalah. It's not your das suddenly that's governing. So you took the Chavetz Chaim just took three of definitely the most insulting gemaras that you'll ever read, and he gave us such a beautiful light and what those gemaras actually mean. By the way, it's an apropos word for this week's parsha, Parsha's Koyrach, because according to the Arizal, Tzadik Hatam Yifrach Soifatayr is Koyrach. And we know that the Mishnah tells us in Masechtas Ovitz, Kos Machlokes L'Shem Shemayim, Sofer L'Skayim. What's Machlokes L'Shem Shemayim, Sofer L'Skayim? Machlokes, Hilv B'Shamay. When's it going to be Sofer L'Skayim? Shamay, the Chidur writes, L'Osid Lovay, because then we're going to pass him possibly up to Kabbalah. You hear it, right? So it's an apropos word for this week's Parsha, what this actually means. So we finally went and explained one of these concepts. Let's try to explain another few concepts. Also, Rabbi Say, many of the insults in Shas, if you take a look in Shulchan Aruch, in Simon Reishmet, what's that?
It will have fun
out of
these
Gemaras. Ah. But let me tell you something. There are many, many Gemaras that we didn't address. No, this will give you just a little light when you talk about the Gemaras about sleeping, your brain's not working, those type of Gemaras.
Lucy gets into these Gemaras very deep.
And that's up to Kabbalah, the Pipshat. A little of everything, Lucy, I'm sure. But everybody said, this is Naim Meshuchet. The problem is, when I say a Shia, I look around, the Olam is Naim Meshuchet. No, everybody said, this is possibly one beautiful angle how to start understanding these subjects. Now, there are many, many more Gemaras, and I'll just pick a couple of these Gemaras. So let's take another one. So everybody said, B'chayr is a Pesheng Elayant, right? Okay? B'chayr is, we learned already. And the Bechayr is, Rabbi Yochanan speaks to Rabbi Chia. This Gemara is in Bava Basra, Kuvzayin, Bechayr is Yudches. Rabbi Chia says a comment to Rabbi Yochanan on a certain sugya. And he turns to him and he says, Ada'achlis kafnaise bebavel. When you were busy eating little dates in Bavel, that's when they learned this sugya. Rashi and Tosfos explain that in Bavel, the dates were less ripe than the dates in Eretz Yisrael. Bekitza, what is he saying to him? undeveloped thought process, is what he's saying to him. Your thought process doesn't carry through. Your conclusion is absurd. That's what he's saying to him. So how did he actually say something of that sort? So the Chavisyoa says that if you take a look in the Gemaras, very, very beautiful Chavisyoa, if you look in Simen Reish Mem Vav, there are two very important points that it says in Shulchan Aruch Simen Reish Mem Vav. And one of the points that it says in Simen Reish Mem Vav in Shulchan Aruch is that even though when you speak to another person, you're not allowed to insult him, however, a Rebbe that has Talmidim around him, and the Rebbe wants to be Mezaris his Talmidim to learn better, and the Rebbe feels that the Talmidim aren't working hard enough, have a right to admonish their Talmidim in a way where they will get the proper message. Right? A possible explanation. Kinayim b'shochev, Amar Rav l'hoshmaitza. I once saw in a sefer, actually, just as an aside, totally gives on the Chavos Yoyah, that the Gemara brings down that Rav never slept. Rav Sheshes was a big bucky. And the Gemara says that Rav was constantly learning. So Rav Sheshes was trying to give Musa to Rav that he should sleep a little bit more. And that was the Musa he was trying to share with him when he tried to frag him up. But either way, Rabbi say, according to the Shulchan Aruch and Simen Reish Mem Vav, if it's a Rebbe to a Talmud, right? Today Talmidim get offended. Back in the day, Talmidim didn't get offended. And the Shulchan Aruch actually says that the Rebbe is allowed to admonish the Talmud if he feels he's not on his toes properly. So that would give us an explanation. And the Chavos Yoyah goes a step further. He shares with us a fascinating point. He said that they had like big brother Talmidim. And he says that the older Talmidim who learned with the younger Talmidim didn't outright insult them. But he says there are certain things in Shas that are written like a derech melitza, he says, like a remez, a little push, get on your game, like they say. And he says that is something that was totally acceptable. So everybody said, so we have 5 more minutes, there are many, many more to go through. So what I'll do is I'll share with you one more Bez Hashem. We'll go through one very, very nice one. But at least the gist of it, which is amazing, Rabbi said, the Yadav Chavos Yoyah that goes through Kamat most of the cases in Shas and tries to make heads and tails out of them, and it gives us such an important lesson. You know, you're about to approach the summer, and you know we just had a whole parsha about Moitzi Dibara La'oretz, right? You've got to be so careful the way you speak to people. Rabbi Belsky Zecher Lebracha told me that Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky once went to Eretz Yisrael, and in those days when he came back on the boat. And there was a whole delegation from the yeshiva went out to see him come off the boat. And there was a lot of politics in Eretz Yisrael at the time. And they started to approach him to talk about the politics. And Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky just said one thing to everybody. Teva ha'oretz me'ed me'ed. That was the only comment he would make. You have to be very careful when you speak to people. Not to say things that are chas v'shalom insulting or fakert. You need to say supportive things to people. Because when you say things... Look, we all understand that if you say things to people in the way where you build them, especially to children, especially to a spouse, you get somewhere. If on the other hand you say things to people in a way where it's condescending, you never get anywhere with people. You just label them and you push them further away. So as you learn from such gemaras, it gives you a chizik that in the time of Shas, every one of these comments was really something which was meant in a positive way, which is amazing. Okay, so let's go through one more. Okay, the Gemara brings a story in Masechtas Yevamos. And the Gemara says as follows. There's a comment made, and this Gemara is in Masechtas Yevamos, Daf Ayin Vav, and he says to him as follows, Mishim da'asim mimiloi amrita devarim mimiloim. Because you come from a place called Miloi, so you make statements that are incomplete. Right? Nice comment, right? You come from incomplete, so you talk incomplete. That's the comment that he makes here in Masechtas Yevamos. Okay? Fine. Comes along the Chavos Yoyah and he brings in the name of the Shloh HaKadosh, who brings down from the Bali Kabbalah. Listen to this unbelievable pshat. Rabbi said there were certain Amiroyim that came from the house of Eli. What do we know about those that came from the house of Eli?
Yayon.
Ah, right? So they had Kuras. What does Chazal tell us? Chazal tell us that a person that has karas and has no kapara, one thing can be mechaper. And what is that? Divrei Torah. By learning Torah, a person can get out of any problem. Listen to this beautiful pshat that he says. Chazal tell us, "Bezevach imilchein meschaper, avol meschape he bedivrei Torah." Listen to this, Rabbi Yisai. The Shlach Hakadosh brings down from the Sefer Eitz Chaim that he says, "Why is it that every pasuk starts off with Vayedava Hashem?" He says, "Vayedava Hashem al Moshe leimor shekach nema b'roiv." Parshia Shal Torah, Roimus, Lamai Shekosa, Bezevach, Imilchein, Meschapa, Meschapa, Dibet Torah, because the Rosh HaTevis of Vayedaber Moshe El Hashem Leimor is Mimmi Lo'i. Because you can sit and learn Torah, and by sitting and learning Torah, you can have that problem resolved. Pilei Ployim brings the Chavas Yoy from the name of the Ramami Pani, and in the name of the Shlach Kodesh, and in the name of the Eitz Chaim, Reb Chaim Vital, that when the Amayroim saw other Amayroim that were learning, but those Amayroim were not on the Madrega of learning that they should have been, their learning was not doing well, and they knew, he goes through, that all of those Amayroim were descendants of Eli, and they knew that in order for them to have the longevity that they were all wishing for, they would have to have the schus of limud haTorah. So he turns to him and he says, "Mishim de'asa mimiloi," because you come from mimiloi. Mimiloi is the place that's lacking. So you're going to say dvorim mimiloyim. But it wasn't an insult. They were giving them encouragement to learn Torah. If they learn Torah, they'll have fulfilled lives. That was the pachas of what they were saying. So the says, "It's a mardig pleasure to sit on a summer night with the Oilam and learn the Torah, and should be a mardig eschus for all of those that need any yeshias which they need." And we can walk away with this beautiful lesson from the parsha, side of parsha of Korach and side of parsha of Shlach, of speaking in negative terms is something which definitely a person can't do. And machloikis, which is usually brought from it, paket, but Chazal was the other way. It's vayv besifa shnei talmidei chacham marav v'talmidei ha'av ibnoi. Chazal tell us that a learning Torah, but Chazal dash in the pasuk is vayv besifa and pashas chukas in emzazim misham at shenasim oyavim ze ezeh.